Good morning, beautiful people, and welcome to Fulfilled Podcast. I'm your host, Oni, and today is the fourth week of the month, which means that we do a My Fulfilled Life. And in My Fulfilled Life, we talk to people who live inspiring lives, hoping that it will inspire us to do the same. So today on the show, I have Sunshine. And how awesome is that name, Sunshine? So I'd like to welcome Sunshine to the show.
Thank you so much, Oni. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I actually met Sunshine at the Natural Health Expo or something like that. Holistic Health Expo.
Right.
And she actually does something called iridology. Can you actually tell us what iridology is about?
Yes, I can. And it's actually pronounced iridology because it has to do with the iris of the eye. So, excuse me, it is an assessment tool that I use to access information, pertinent information in the iris of the eye that can show your health and your physical health and emotional health.
Okay. And I read on your website that this is something when you talk about like physical health or emotional health, that it's something that you're able to see back three generations.
That's right. Good memory. Yes.
I think that's kind of interesting. So, you know, does that necessarily mean that when this happens, that even if people made certain changes, that it's still written, you know, it still affects their health, or it's just talking about when they were born and it kind of maps out their eye at that moment?
So the iris of the eye is like a computer tracking system. It's going to track all kinds of events that occur, as well as predispositions for something that could occur. So if you have diabetes in your family, it doesn't mean that your pancreas is going to be dysfunctional. But it's great information to have so that you can be on a protocol to prevent that destruction of your pancreas.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how did you, you know, I've seen or read, I think both actually, about people using like the foot meridian charts or even the hands or the head. I had never seen something dealing with the eye until I saw you. How did you get into this field?
I started at a very young age into health, spirituality, meditation, and I was studying nutrition and psychology and herbology. And I was introduced to Dr. Bernard Jensen back in 1982, who is one of the most well-known iridologists in the Western world. It was discovered actually in Europe. And so that was a fascinating vehicle for me, because one of my desires, Oni, is to really be able to see into somebody's heart, to see into their soul. And this was such a perfect vehicle in a non-invasive way to really get past all the blocks that people put up around them and to really get into who they are as a human being, who they came here to be on the planet.
So that must have taken a lot of time to get a person comfortable with talking to you, to kind of merge into that, to the space that you're in right now.
Yes. I mean, one of the factors here is because this is a very intimate kind of process or analysis, and people do say they feel very comfortable with me and they do feel the trust. So I create a very safe space with my clients because I'm working with them on an emotional level as well. So it's just a really wonderful thing to connect with somebody that way. And what's really interesting is that I have an iridology camera that takes a photograph of the iris, and then I've got a large computer screen. So when somebody has the opportunity to see who they are, all of who they are, going way back even generationally, with their iris on the screen, it's quite a profound experience for them.
I bet. So this is something that you wanted when you came out of high school. Was there some kind of transition that took place that made you go down this herbalist, not nutritional practitioner kind of thing? Or, you know, what was the change that made you go down this path?
Well, like you're saying, from high school, I was always very interested in health and really valued the human body. And I started out mostly with nutrition classes and herbology classes and that kind of thing. And then went with my exposure to the iridology, that took on a whole nother depth to it, that I could really pinpoint, get to the core of what's going on with somebody's issues, whether it's emotional or physical. So I really stuck with the iridology and have so many more modalities that I've added into my practice.
Okay. The people that you wind up having as your client, what causes people, or do they tell you what causes people to come and talk to you versus maybe your traditional nutritionist or even the general doctor?
Right. Well, the difference that I have to offer people, what sets me apart, is that using the iris of the eye for this assessment, I can detect not only the hereditary dispositions and genetics, but I can see and observe innate strengths and weaknesses in every single part of the body. So my business name is In Spiral Iridology, because we spiral from the very core of our gut. And so many of our physical issues or health issues or diseases start in the gut. Mm-hmm. And so I can look at the colon, I can see the shape of the colon, if there's enzymes that are deficient, exactly what's going on with people, are they absorbing, assimilating? And then it links out to all the lymphatic system, the heart, your liver, thyroid, endocrine system. There's so many places in the body that we can see. So people come for a plethora of issues or problems that I can assist with.
Okay. I know you just said there's a lot of different reasons why people come, but have you found something, maybe a common factor? Like, for example, as the years have gone by, the amount of pollution or the kind of evolution in the foods that we eat, since a lot of things are now modified versus like an older person that, you know, ate straight from their backyard or their grandma had a farm or something like that. Have you noticed something being more pronounced now than it was when you first started?
Well, that is that's a great question, because one of the first things I see that I look at is somebody's constitutional structure type. So there's different categories of how people fit into that. So I can see somebody that has a really strong constitution. That's maybe your uncle that smoked and drank all of his life and nothing really happened to him and he could do exactly what he wants. That would be a very, very strong constitutional type. And then we've got other people that need a little bit more nurturing and support. And so they're going to be ones that are apt to contact or contract the colds easier, or sore throats, or viruses that come around. And we can do things that can build up their constitutional structure. So I think, am I answering that question?
Yes. And I guess the other thing is as you're talking about the constitutional structure, I'd like for you to just explain that a little bit more to my listeners so that they understand what that means and when you're referring to it.
So somebody that has a stronger, a stronger foundation that they came into the world with, they're going to be able to have a little bit more variety of choices with foods or lifestyle. There's a fiber structure that I can see in the iris that sets that apart, that determines if you have a stronger structure or one that isn't as resilient. And so even though somebody with a strong constitutional structure, they're still going to be prone to certain things, because each iris structure has a propensity towards certain imbalances. So that strong constitutional type, they're going to be prone to aches and pains and a little bit more inflammation and a little more prone to arthritic types of things. So there are these distinctions. And then there's, of course, protocol to assist with that.
Okay. As you got into this field, did you have a lot of resistance from maybe people or certain maybe even medical groups or what have you when you first started here? Because I know it varies depending on states how open-minded they are to things outside of the allopathic medicine kind of way.
Right.
So how is this for you? I know you're in Massachusetts now, but have you always been in Massachusetts? Has it always been not a problem for you?
So I just moved here 18 months ago from Colorado, and okay. And I'm basically a West Coast girl. So on the West Coast, there's a lot more, I would say, exposure and openness to holistic types of living, and it's very mainstream there. And the interesting thing is still, iridology is not known by many people. And even though it was discovered actually in the 1800s in Europe, it's not as mainstream as like acupuncture. But what people are, here in Massachusetts, I think there is a consciousness that's really expanding and growing. And when my daughter moved here 5-6 years ago, when I first came, I said, how do you eat here? Where's the organic food, Mm-hmm. And whenever I go to the regular grocery stores, I talk to the produce people, and I talk to the meat department, and I say, can you please get organic food in here? And, they're pretty open, and I see a movement that this is expanding. So I have experienced personally, and I don't know if it's because part of my personality, I love people so much, that I've been pretty well accepted here. Mm-hmm. And I have I've got a really wonderful steady clientele, and people are opening to this more and more. And the thing is because when I look into their eyes and their irises, it's validating. It's validating because I'm telling them things that are the truth, right? That they know, that nobody else would know about. And this is not a psychic thing, though. Right. So I appreciate psychic and intuition. This is a science. So when they can have that experience, then they're going to be referring their friends and family. And I've actually seen whole families here, which is a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is.
One other thing that's kind of interesting that there's so much to observe in the iris. One of the things that I look at too is in the personality profiling or emotional way is a person more left brain dominant? Are they right brain dominant? If they're more left brain, they lead with their masculine energy more. And that has a whole meaning in life, especially when you set up in a relationship dynamic or in business.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. With the right brain, they're going to be more creative and philosophical, a little more easygoing, but they're going to need to be more practical and more focused. So whatever brain dominance one person is in, there's always a lesson to learn. And there's really positive things about it. And then there's things that they could get some more balance with.
As far as lifestyle, because I know that's something that's driving for a lot of people, is how to be able to do the passions that they want to, but still be able to make a living while they're doing it. Have you found any complications in that area where you wind up having to maybe have an extra job or something like that while you're following the passions that you currently have?
No, I mean, this is what I do here. And, I pretty much started from scratch because I've never been on the East Coast, really. We came here for my daughter. She had twins.
Oh, nice.
And so that's why we're here. And so this is my sole business. And I mean, there's many adjuncts and modalities to it because I do the emotional release work counseling as well. But it is my passion. And I feel very, very fortunate that this is what I'm doing, and I'm being sustainable in it.
Oh, that's very nice. When you're talking about how to motivate or encourage someone, what is the word that your words of wisdom that you would have, maybe if someone is struggling a bit in this process and setting themselves up and et cetera, what kind of encouragement would you give them?
Well, what I love to do is whatever the imbalance or the issue is or the discord is, I can see really what their true assets are, about what their gifts are. And if I can encourage and really support trying to bring those parts out in people so that they get better self-esteem and better self-worth and confidence about what they came here on the planet to do. Mm-hmm. That's some of the ways that I support them. And then when I'm working with somebody on a nutritional plan, I call myself, you know, a holistic wellness coach as well as an iridologist, because I'm going to coach them. If there is that desire, they have to have the hunger and the desire and the commitment, and I'm going to be committed for them to have them show up so that they can have results. And so I keep track, and we do check-in calls, and I'll give them certain things to do, like goals that they can administer what is they feel capable of. Right. So, yeah, so they're not overwhelmed.
You know, as I think about this, I think about any type of consultant, you know, as you're passionate about whatever it is that you do, sometimes you'll get a client or what have you that's just not quite, you know, that kind of falls off the radar, even though you really feel or want things to go a certain way for them so that they have better results. I do know that you have to have a certain mentality that so that you're not necessarily as attached to the outcome. But how did you wind up getting to that point so that it didn't bother you as much when things didn't work out the way maybe you wanted them to work out for a client?
You know, that's a really good question too, Oni. One of my mottos is people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. That's been used around the world for a while, but I love that one. And what I had to monitor in myself, because I am committed to people having results, I have to have this spaciousness and allowing, because it's their path, it's their walk, and I can't be attached, you know, to what they're not going to commit to. So, you know, I say to people sometimes on a scale from 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, what is your commitment here? Where do you want to be? Do you want to make changes? Because change is hard for people. So that's why we try to do it either in a very gentle way that's progressive, that they can attain easily. Mm-hmm. It's their choice. People have choices in each and every moment. And I allow them to have those choices if they want to excel or they want to, you know, drop off. So
that's very nice. We had a discussion earlier. I think in last month's episode, we talked about this choice and how it's one of the most powerful things that you have. But I definitely agree that's all you can do.
Right.
So what kind of words of wisdom would you have for our listeners who are trying to branch out on their own to start whatever their passions are? What would you say to them as far as words of wisdom or encouragement from the experiences or lessons that you've had?
So one thing that is important is to watch the mind, because we have these monkey minds that need to be trained like a puppy. And the self-doubt and the criticism that we put upon ourselves, saying, okay, well, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can make any money at this. When's it going to happen? You know, you've got to muscle up your why. Why do you want to do this? What is this passion? What does it feed for you? And what does it give to humanity? And so if you stick with and really embrace your belief, that's where the power is.
Those are awesome, awesome words of advice.
Thank you.
So if our listeners wanted to try and reach you, first, I guess, would they only have to be in Massachusetts to do so? Or are you able to actually do this through the internet as well?
I am. We're in the process of trying to teach people how to take a picture of their iris and then send it to me. So that's a little bit under construction. So generally, the first time I do like to see somebody in person so I can get a picture of their irises, and I'll keep it in my files. And then we can do Skype sessions, or I can do phone sessions with people as well.
Okay. And how would they go about reaching you?
Yeah, they can just look on my website. Mm-hmm. And like, again, I'll say it's whatisiridology.com. And iridology is iridology.
Fantastic. So I will say that I wound up when I met her in the Holistic Health Expo, I did a little quick synopsis. I don't know what the right term is, but I did a quick session with her. And it was very, very interesting. One of the things that she wound up bringing up with me was asking me the question of if I had a family history of heart problems. And I was a little bewildered when she asked. I'm like, no, I don't have any family history of heart problems. And so I started talking with my dad, and apparently both of my grandparents had it. And later on, after I spoke with her, my sister wound up having a heart attack. So we do actually have heart problems, which I, you know, at the time I did not know we had. So that was kind of interesting how it unfolded after I wound up meeting with her, just to show some of the things that it winds up telling you that you may not know about yourself. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and feel free to shoot us an email and let us know your comments or questions on this, and check out Sunshine and Iridology. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode and have any comments or questions, please feel free to go to fulfilledpodcast.com. Click on this episode and leave your comments and questions there. We'll respond to them, or we'll get back to you on the next episode, just answering them at the end. You can also just send us a voicemail or text message through 508-233-3418. The wonderful thing about My Fulfilled Life is that if you have someone that you know that inspires you and has a great story that you think should be shared with everyone, shoot us an email at fulfilled@icloud.com, and we would love to have them on the show for them to tell their story about their life, how they live a fulfilled life. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and have a beautiful and inspiring day.